content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray. I've got Aviana Barrientos in studio with me, Marie Early, and Robin Perry Braun. Hey, Robin.
Hey.
I'm ready for a session.
Good. I'm here in town.
For those of you just now joining us, Robin Perry Braun is my personal shrink and has been for a couple of years. I've been struggling the last 5 days or so. You almost got to call it like midnight a couple of days.
You've been on my mind too, so yeah. I'm not surprised.
My energy is coming your way.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, I'm in like this weird place. I feel like I'm in the twilight zone after just a typical to a lot of families out there listening, a lot of people. I had a little bit of family drama and it shook me to my very core, and I have been having trouble, you know, shaking it off. So give me some advice live on the air. Go ahead.
Wow. Well, you know,
post-holiday stress.
My absolute message to every human being is that we were put on this earth to feel our emotions and process them and not stuff them.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens.
Sometimes that's inconvenient.
Well, that's one of the reasons that, you know, I just stuff and I stuff and I stuff. And that's typical me, because I always try to be kind and sweet and understanding to the point of nauseam. And then when I get violated repeatedly, I explode.
Yeah.
I just explode. And it's very human, though, isn't it?
It's very American.
American?
Yeah.
Why American?
Well, because we're very intellectual here and we don't value emotions. More cultures, like you talk about your Italian upbringing.
Oh, well, Italians are famous for letting it out.
Yes, right. But
they
also
me?
Probably have, statistically, probably live longer lives, have less addiction, and are healthier.
Well, you know what? I was thinking about this the other day because, you know, we talk a lot about vaccines on the air here.
Yes.
And yesterday we had Mary Holland on the show, which was very anxiety provoking in itself, because just talking about that it's a heavy subject.
It's heavy.
There's a lot on the line. And there's a lot on the line. And I've got nothing to gain by talking about it other than the truth. I'm looking for the truth. And so anyway, I don't know. I forget where I was going with this. But I have had a lot of anxiety. But you know what? See, there you go. I'm traumatized. I forgot my brain's not working right. I forgot my train of thought.
I brought some of my really good brain supplements with me from Thorne.
Oh, from Thorne.
Yeah.
Which
this
one?
It's the Deproloft HF. This is my particular thing that balances my brain the best.
Really?
And I muscle test.
Give me the bottle.
No. Exactly. I brought it to muscle test everybody, but I muscle test this all the time. That works better for me than CBD, than homeopathic serotonin.
Well, trauma like that, though, does mess with your brain.
It
gives you
And serotonin is one of your memory neurotransmitters.
Uh-huh.
And so that fine line with depression, you know, serotonin is when in the middle of the day you're having a conversation about your favorite Julia Roberts movie and you can't remember her name.
Right.
That's serotonin dip.
I remembered what I was going to talk about.
Okay,
good. Okay. I did this yesterday, too. But my dad. Okay, so my dad passed away in his late 90s. He never had a vaccination. He died with a full head of hair. He was on the Mediterranean diet. Almost all of his teeth.
Yes.
His skin looked beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay, and so there's some lessons there. There's some lessons there.
We have to look at statistics.
We think about vaccines. Like, our grandparents didn't get all those vaccines.
No.
We didn't get that many.
When we didn't get
in
that
our 50s.
Many.
I'm in my 50s. I
60s,
got very
70s,
few.
Yeah.
And so you're right. And then but nobody says, well, why is the autism rate through the roof?
Right.
How do we explain that?
Right.
Why is the ADD, ADHD rate through the roof? We can point to some diet, chemicals and food and all that. I don't think we can put autism.
I do think it's a culmination of so many different things.
It's a combination.
And we really need to clean up our environment and our act get back to
simple, basic practices.
We
got to stop sticking our head in the sand and go, oh, the autism rate is 10,000% greater. Oh, okay. Well, why? Can we stop it? Can we reverse it? Can we change it? It didn't exist that way 20 years ago.
And there's so many problems that are resulting from it. You know, now a lot of the children that are older now, they're like, and they're coming into their 20s that are autistic, are getting sexually abused in these institutions that they're put in from, so their parents can go back to work or, you know, daycare, home care, whatever. And also, a lot of them are they're getting arrested. They're even having to train police officers now how to deal or know if you're dealing with someone who's autistic.
Yeah.
So they're a lot more likely to be incarcerated or just misunderstood. It's very complicated, and it's going to be a big problem in our society even more than it already is.
Well, and just the spectrum has become so much larger because,
right.
I mean, there's highly functioning mild autism,
right.
But it still affects your relationships. Yeah. It still affects your ability to interact socially in a functional way, kind of things.
You know, my grandfather was a doctor, went to Case Western University and was a doctor in Ohio. I wasn't even born yet. My mother and father, you know, they had children later in life, which is kind of crazy, but they did. But they lived long lives. But, you know, they didn't have all these issues back in those days. Doctors were truly doctors that just wanted to try to heal people and practice what they knew to do the best. Now it's become so infiltrated with greed and just, it's unbelievable.
Well, it's
greed
political,
and fraud, politics, all of it.
I have my chiropractor was an MD in the emergency room, and she basically got told, you're going to lose your job if you don't start making more prescriptions.
Wow.
And she couldn't do it. So she quit her job as an MD, went to chiropractic school. They gave her no comp credit for 4 years of medical school and being an MD. She had to start over at square one to be a chiropractor, which says a lot for chiropractic, right?
Yep, right.
But she quit for that reason. She didn't see her modality wouldn't align her paradigm. She didn't obviously have her paradigm developed well before she went to medical school.
Right.
But she goes, this just isn't. Prescribing drugs isn't working to get people well.
You know, and I think, you know, as my shrink, this is one of the reasons I'm having all this confusion and anxiety, because I'm trying to figure all of this out. I read so much and I'm trying to connect the dots and put the pieces of the puzzle in the right place so that I can convey it well on the air so we can all have a better understanding of what the hell is going on with our medicine in this country.
Right.
Seriously, it's very scary. I read so much that it causes a lot of anxiety.
Yeah, I know. I'm right there with you. You know, the best we can do is educate, and help people shift a paradigm back to what I call original design. If it wasn't produced in nature, it's not resonant energetically with the way our bodies are designed.
Right.
And so there's going to be a negative downside to it. And that's the easiest way to say it.
Yeah, and I think that we all have such a fear of disease, of getting sick, and we have a fear of death. We have all these fears that are out there. There's
absolutely.
So many things that are just a natural part of life. I was reading an article last night about life and death.
Yeah.
Very interesting. In Breathe Magazine, a very, very interesting perspective about death. And we run from it. I used to be scared to death of death.
Right.
Like, seriously, I did. Like, I remember being a kid and walking to school when I used to go to Holy Family, this is in middle school, and I would cross the street so I wouldn't have to walk in front of this funeral parlor that was on State Street.
Yeah.
When I would walk to school, I would cross the street because it used to freak me out so bad. Why are we all so afraid of death? It's a natural part of life.
It is.
You can't have one without the other.
Right.
You have birth and you have death.
Right.
Yeah. So, okay, I brought everyone really down here.
Now I'm really anxious.
But you shouldn't be. That's the thing. And we've got to find a way to live our lives more open and free and beautiful without fear, without anxiety, without depression, and enjoy every moment that we have.
Yeah, absolutely.
We really do. So we're going to talk about that with you today, a holistic approach to, and also with Dr. Art Markman, is failure necessary? And if so, how to recover from it, along with a holistic approach to addiction recovery. I think we're all addicts in some way. I always say that. Everybody's got their addiction.
Yeah.
I like to mix mine up.
There you go.
Yeah, so I'm never too addicted to one thing, but we'll talk all about it. Everyone, stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Hi, I'm Ashley Grace, co-founder of H Hemp Company. Hemp CBD improved my life so much that I started a company to help others naturally feel better. You don't have to have had a severe brain injury like me to benefit from H Hemp Company products. If you're struggling to feel better, calm your brain, or better deal with daily stress and want to do so naturally, please try H-Hemp Company products. Search H-Hemp Company and use code OLR for 20% off and free shipping. That's H-Hemp Company and code OLR to feel better naturally and calm your brain.
Give your body some soul with Sun Warrior's new Soul Good Protein Bars. Sun Warrior is committed to making the best plant-based proteins and superfood supplements from the finest organic ingredients across the globe. Soul Good Bars have an amazing profile. They have 17 to 19 grams of clean organic protein, very low sugar, and 16 to 17 grams of fiber. They're available in delicious flavors like blueberry blast, coconut cashew, cinnamon roll, and salted caramel. Check them out online at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com. And give your adventure some soul.
Sun Warrior believes that plants provide the cleanest and most powerful foods, rich in antioxidants, vitamins, minerals, enzymes, and phytonutrients. Our bodies crave real foods, especially in this age where we heavily process everything we eat, stripping out all of the benefits and nutrition well before we have a chance to even use them. Illuminate your body, mind, and the planet with Sun Warrior. To learn more, visit them at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com.
Hi, this is Sean Wells, certified sports nutritionist, registered dietitian, and biochemist. One Life Radio and I are so excited about the launch of our Thorne dispensary. Thorne is the most used brand by medical practitioners as a result of its industry-leading quality control. Further, Thorne has a team of doctors, chemists, and dietitians formulating their products to be the gold standard. There are very few products I would personally endorse as a clinician, nutritional biochemist, and the world's greatest formulator, but Thorne is atop my short list. Visit OneLifeRadio.com to shop my hand-selected vitamins and supplements, including FloraPro LP Probiotic, Berberine 500, MethylGuard Plus, and Resveracell in optimized resveratrol. Be sure to click our banner on OneLifeRadio.com and create an account to receive your exclusive 20% discount along with free shipping today.
Did you know there are over 3,000 kinds of snakes, and most, being shy, pose no threat to humans, but they are still feared and killed, even for frivolous fashion. In his poem Snake, D.H. Lawrence marvels at a snake drinking from a water trough. He succumbs to irrational fear and impulsively throws a log at the very animal he admired moments before. He writes, "And immediately I regretted it. I thought how paltry, how vulgar, what a mean act. I despised myself and the voices of my accursed human education, and I wished he would come back, my snake, for he seemed to me again like a king in exile, uncrowned in the underworld." This is Ingrid Newkirk with Peter, reminding us it's easy to be kind by choosing fake snake over real skin for belts, bags, and shoes.
Between the stillness of my heart and the roar of the approaching night.
Jackson Brown. I just gotta let this roll till it gets to the what do you call it?
The part where you sing.
Yeah. That's what you call it. Everybody feel, go ahead and sing with me.
Woo! You guys heard me sing karaoke. I don't know if you want me to.
Oh my gosh. Everyone, welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray. I've got Aviana Barrientos in studio with me, Robin Perry Braun, Marie Early, and I have Dr. Art Markman. He's a PhD on the line. He has been on the show before. I love this guy. He is Dr. Art Markman is Annabelle Iron Worsham Centennial Professor of Psychology and Marketing at the University of Texas at Austin. He received his Bachelor of Science in Cognitive Science from Brown and his PhD in psychology from the University of Illinois. He has published over 150 scholarly works on topics in higher level thinking, including the effects of motivation on learning and performance, analogical reasoning, decision making, and creativity. He currently serves as a member of the editorial board of Cognitive Psychology, and he is a contributor to Psychology Today. Always a pleasure. Dr. Markman, welcome back to One Life Radio.
Oh, it is great to be back. Thanks so much.
Well, I love having you on the show, and I love what we're talking about today, especially since it's a new year and so many people tend to focus on their failures instead of their successes. But our topic today is failure necessary. So do you think that failure is inevitable?
Oh, absolutely. And I guess what I would say is, you know, we gotta distinguish between utter failure and just making mistakes.
Okay.
You know, and I think that you know, there are a couple of places where mistake making is crucial, right? If you're going to try anything new, you're going to do something wrong, and you have to be willing to do something wrong, and you have to be willing to learn from that. So I think, you know, we have to be willing to try things that might not work out, and sometimes we have to be willing to fail in the sense of deciding, you know what, I tried this, I gave it my all, and I'm not going to succeed at it. I'm going to move on to something else. And we know that successful people try stuff, and when they realize they're not going to succeed, they can back off and work on something else where they're going to have more success.
Mm-hmm. I'm reading a quote from Susie Kasmam. She's a writer, and she says, fear kills more dreams than failures ever will. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think there are people who are so afraid of failure they don't even try. And so,
yeah.
You know, the number of people I know who have regrets about their lives, and those regrets are things they never did. So people who say, I never wrote the book I wanted to write, or, you know, when I was 35, I took up the saxophone and because I realized I'd always wanted to do it. And that required a willingness to sound really bad in front of other people.
Yeah.
And you know, if you're afraid to do that, and if I had been afraid to do that, then lo, these many years later, I would not know how to play the sax.
Well, as a PhD, what is at the very root of that insecurity or fear of failure that you speak of?
Well, there's a lot of them, but you know, part of it is it is drilled into us just from school. I mean, think about who is successful in school.
Mm-hmm.
The people who are successful in school are the ones who make the fewest mistakes. So,
right.
So what school teaches us is successful people never make mistakes. But that's not true. Once you get out of school, successful people are the ones who learn the most from their mistakes, not the ones who never make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And so from the beginning, we're given this message. And what we have to do is to learn that actually people don't really remember your mistakes. What they remember is your successes. And the road to those successes is, I blew it, and now I'm going to learn from it, and I'm never going to make that mistake again.
Yeah. Well, it is very difficult to put yourself out there. It is sometimes, because I think we have become, especially now with social media, such a critical society of one another. And so how can you learn substantially more from failure than success?
So, you know, it turns out that when you succeed, a lot of times it's hard to pinpoint what factors led to that success, because sometimes your success is just you were in the right place at the right time.
Absolutely.
But when you fail, if you then spend some time thinking about, well, what did I do wrong? You can often actually isolate, here's a thing that I did that had I done it differently, things might have gone differently. And so it's often much easier to diagnose how to succeed from your failures than it is to repeat a success.
Well, and I know that, you know, in your book, Smart Change, you talk about failure is a critical part of learning. How so?
Well, it's critical in several ways. I mean, for one, we can't learn how much effort to put into things unless we fail every once in a while. Turns out that if you always succeed at everything you do, you're probably spending too much time on certain things.
Hmm.
And so one of the ways to figure out how much time to spend is occasionally to spend not enough time on something and not do it well, and then realize, oh, this is something that required more time, because you'll discover that a certain number of things you're doing, you were overdoing. So that's one place where failure is really important. But, you know, another is that you know, this time of year, a lot of people are thinking about making changes in their lives. And you have to be willing to give it a try, recognizing that your old habits are going to creep back in. And what you want to do is to then analyze that and say, oh, here's, you know, I wanted to get to the gym today and I didn't. What went wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And when this situation comes up again, how can I make sure that I actually do it differently in the future? And so that willingness to actually confront those mistakes, I think a lot of times we fail at something and we just dig our head in the sand and think, well, you know, I'm just not going to think about it because it's too painful to think about those
mm-hmm.
errors. But
yeah.
You don't want to do that. You want to pay attention.
Yeah. Well, I know, you know, you speak of there are three kinds of failures and two of them are good.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah. So one of them is that trade-off between, but you know, where I'm learning how much effort to put into stuff. The other kind of failure that's really quite benign is what you can sometimes call life. It's unsystematic failure. Mm. So the fact is that none of us have enough time, money, effort, you know, all of those resources to do everything we want to do all the time. And so successful adults balance all of the goals that they have. And so, you know, if you miss a kid's recital because you have to stay late at work one day, but then you go to an event for your kid but miss out on working out, and, you know, you just balance all those trade-offs, then that's called being a successful adult.
Mm-hmm.
The really negative kind of failure, the one that you have to watch out for, is systematic failure, where there's something that is important to you, and systematically you're never getting to it. So somebody who says, you know, I always wanted to write that book, and then mm-hmm. they never write it.
Right.
And the reason systematic failures matter is because that's the canary in the coal mine. If you keep doing what you've been doing, you're going to continue to fail. And it's not right for people to say, well, it must not be important to me if I'm not succeeding at it. No, what you have to say is there are just other things that are getting in the way, and if I don't make a change, I'm not going to succeed. But that's the point at which you got to say, well, if I really want to write that book or make that change in my life, I'm going to have to do something different.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. It really is when you talk about failure and success, and I have a lot of thoughts, but, you know, when someone is failing, how should they embrace failure moving forward after a big failure or a perceived failure?
Yeah. So one of the first things you have to do is to get right out in front of it and let the world know you blew it. So I think one of the things that we're afraid of is, well, people will find out, and then we'll be labeled a failure.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a difference between labeling yourself a failure, which means somehow you have essence of failure in you, and just saying, here's something I failed at. And I think when you just let everybody know, yep, I tried this thing and it didn't work out, and here's what I'm going to do now. What you're doing is removing a lot of that social sting of the failure, which I think is one of the things that keeps you from trying new things.
Mm-hmm.
And then you want to really be clear, mostly to yourself, here's what I'm going to do differently. Here's the plan that I'm going to put in place so that when this set of circumstances comes up again, here's how I'm going to do things differently in my life. And then stick to that. And you'll, you know, if you continue moving forward, if you continue trying new things, then you put yourself in the best chance to succeed. And I think the most important thing to do is to look at every successful person and pay attention to their stories. You know, mm-hmm. reading a good biography, you discover that every single successful person has a string of things that they failed at over the course of their lives.
Oh, absolutely.
What made them successful over the course of their lives wasn't constant success. It was overcoming failure.
Mm-hmm. A quote from Oprah Winfrey that I pulled up last night says, whatever you fear the most has no power. It is your fear that has the power. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, because you can put, you know, my mom always used to tell me you can do anything you want if you put your mind to it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's partially right. You got to put your mind to it, and then you got to put your effort into it.
Right.
And I think that the fear, you know, what fear does is it keeps us from wanting to actually try. You know, we find reasons not to do things. We find reasons to put in only partial effort, so we have an excuse for our failure. You know, you got to go all in and on anything that you do and give yourself the best possible chance. And if it fails, it fails. That's fine. It turns out that we fear that failure more than it actually stings when we make a mistake.
Well, and so how does failure allow you to discover new paths?
So first of all, there are two ways that failure can affect you. One, in positive ways. One is that you may learn new things about yourself and about how to act that will allow you to succeed. But, you know, the other thing is sometimes you've put your best effort into something and it simply hasn't worked.
Mm-hmm.
And when you really look at it, you realize, you know what, I'm not going to succeed at this. And so what that allows you to do is to then consider, well, what else could I do? What are some of the other things that I've always wanted to try that I haven't done? And rather than wallowing in the failure, you can look at the list of things you'd like to accomplish in your life and try a different one. And it might turn out that by switching gears and trying something new, you actually open up a new chapter for yourself that was unanticipated that brings you great joy and satisfaction.
Mm-hmm. You know, when you were speaking just now, I was thinking, you know, failure is really something that you can't just easily, you know, jump from one failure. If you move too quickly without learning the lesson from that failure, wouldn't you say that you're more apt to fail again? That failure is an opportunity for examination, if you will.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's the thing that we learn early on is actually to ignore some of the failures. You know, you get
right.
a bad grade on a test and you hide it from everybody.
Well, yeah, because you start feeling you feel uncomfortable. You feel, but you really do have to own your discomfort, don't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's nothing wrong with feeling bad about something. I think
yeah.
We live in a society in which everybody wants to feel good all the time.
Right.
A little dissatisfaction is good. And looking at that failure and feeling bad about how it went, which if that spurs you, if that gives you energy to mm-hmm. to try harder next time, that's great. But if you're going to try harder, you have to do it mindful of what the right plan is in the future. You know, trying harder at something where you just do the same thing that you did before that failed, only harder, is not really the recipe for success. It's looking carefully at what you did and saying, this is what went wrong. I'm going to do it. I'm going to put more effort in, but I'm going to put
right.
in better effort on better tasks.
And that's probably the reason why failure makes success that much more rewarding. Yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, the fact is that anything that comes too easily, it's hard to feel really good about it. When you sweat over something and then you succeed, it's like that, the original Rocky movie where
mm-hmm.
he's standing on at the top of the steps of in Philadelphia, looking out. You know, he's happy because we got to see him fail a bunch of times.
Mm-hmm. My dad used to say, if it was easy, everyone would be doing it.
Absolutely.
So, always great to have you on. Thank you so much, Dr. Markham.
Oh, my pleasure.
Mark Mann. I always mispronounce it. It's Mark Mann.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. But great to talk to you and hope to talk to you again soon in the new year.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, everyone. Stay tuned. We've got more coming up with Robin Perry Braun. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Hi, this is Vaughn Eaglin. As a licensed professional counselor and supervisor, I spend my career helping people cope with emotional problems. But today, I want to talk to you about nutrition. People ask me all the time for nutrition and weight loss advice, and I always find myself recommending a raw vegan protein, a food supplement called Warrior Blend by Sun Warrior. I wasn't always active and fit. In fact, I was very overweight as a child. And as a counselor, I must emphasize the importance of the mind-body connection. A clean body helps with a clean mind. Start today with Sun Warrior Blend Raw Vegan Protein. For more information, go to sunwarrior.com and start living clean today.
Well-Being Journal is a remarkable bi-monthly health publication esteemed by intelligent readers worldwide. It's available in print or digital, single issues or subscription. Its focus is on living a happy, healthy life and preventing or healing illnesses naturally. Preventing or healing cancer, arthritis, cardiovascular conditions, and digestive issues, as well as nutritional solutions for optimal health, are regular subjects. Learn more at wellbeingjournal.com.
Hi, I'm Bob Barker, and this is my friend Benny. Before you buy cosmetics, personal care, or household products, you be sure they have not been tested on animals. Everything from floor cleaner to shampoo is poured into animals' eyes and down their throats. They suffer intensely. Some even go blind. The price is never right for products tested on animals. Visit PETA.org for a list of cruelty-free companies.
Whoever said you can't poop in style? The Curve is a sleeker version of the original Squatty Potty stool that will look fabulous in any bathroom. Choose from pink, black, gray, or white. Its minimalist design is sure to please the eye while staying durable and built to last. Go to squattypotty.com/onelife for 15% off your entire purchase. Poop, poop, be do.
Hi, I'm Charlize Theron with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Almost all the puppies for sale at your local mall were churned out by breeding facilities called puppy mills.
Constant confinement drives the dogs mad. They are impregnated continually until they can no longer produce a litter.
If you choose a dog from the mall, a dog you could have saved from the pound will die.
Contact PETA to learn how you can make a difference at 757-622-PETA or visit PETA.org.
DR, I love it. Diamond Notes, just what music to play to get me in a good mood. This is one of my favorite songs. CCR, you're looking at me weird, Robin. Are you being weird?
No, I'm just talking next. I'm going, what am I going to say?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, welcome back, everyone, to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray. Aviana Barrientos is in studio with us, Marie Early and Robin Perry Braun. Robin has been a regular on the show for quite some time now. She has a master's in psychology. She has a doctoral student, or she is a doctoral student in energy medicine and a holistic counselor. Robin has worked with sex addictions for 18 years, and she is an emotion code energy practitioner and has her own process called Integrated Life Process. Robin does virtual sessions all over the world and uses a holistic approach to address mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical problems. I always love having you in studio with me, Robin Perry Braun. Let's talk about this, a holistic approach to addiction recovery.
Yes.
Yeah. I think I'm an addict.
I think
but I have like five different things I'm addicted
to. Rotate.
Aren't we all?
Yeah.
You know, I rotate them. I was joking at the beginning of the year. My New Year's resolution is I'm going to get drunk every night. I was joking, of course. But, you know, I mean, I love my wine. I don't know how to stop it.
Right.
I used to be able to, you know, like once a month I wouldn't drink wine in the evening for maybe two or three days.
Right.
Or 1 or 2 days. But, well, you know.
And so, you know, and there's a
good
distinction.
Is that an addiction?
Well, there's a good distinction between becoming addicted to a substance and becoming an addict and having an addictive personality.
Okay.
And so, yes, right now your body is addicted to that feeling it gets every night at
Great.
That time from your wine. And it may be because of stress. It may be because you're not dealing with some emotions.
Yeah.
And so your brain goes to the last thing that made it feel good.
But so many people, I mean, this is like, I think it's kind of comical, actually, that, I mean, people are addicted to so many different things. Isn't
yes.
that actually just part of the human experience?
Well,
unless
it's,
you live on a mountain and you're walking around in a robe and you're meditating all day long. I mean, if you're living your life, you're going to have a ton of stress, a ton of diversions,
right.
just a ton of everything keeping you from that constant state of peace.
Well, and so, but here's the thing. Our brains were wired for peace and joy. It's the way we're wired.
Right.
All of those addictions are an attempt to homeostasis.
That's why I brought it up.
Okay. So everything we do is trying to manage peace and joy, but the things that are not authentic in the way our brain is designed don't keep us there.
Right.
And so we are in a vicious cycle. So the downside of drinking the wine is it keeps your body from metabolizing or absorbing B vitamins, and it lowers your serotonin. So the end result is you feel worse.
Damn it, Jim.
And so
I've
we
still
want
got my sense of humor.
So we want more wine. We want more wine or something else or whatever.
Okay.
Rather than go, why am I stressed? Let me deal with the emotions of stress. Let me deal
right.
with the emotion. And the thing is that we're too busy to be human. The human
yeah.
experience is an emotional experience. We live in a country that we've designed to not give ourselves permission to do that. This is the foundational root of addiction, is not having the emotional development, brain development to process emotions and feelings. And so we don't. And eventually our brain goes, I don't feel good. I've got all this negative energy trapped inside because
uh-huh.
I didn't feel it and release it. So now I need something to feel better. I'm triggered.
Well, so I'm going to ask Avi and Marie and Diamond, what do you all think about this?
What are we addicted to? I mean, man.
I mean, you've got, I mean, I could, some people
you
could
are say addicted, alcohol.
Some people are addicted to sex. Some people are addicted to, you know, alcohol, weed, shopping, religion.
TV.
Religion, that's a good one. Coffee,
Netflix.
Sugar. I mean, I could go on and on and on.
Yeah.
Yes, but here's the point is that we weren't wired or born to be addicted. Three-year-olds aren't addicted. Five-year-olds aren't addicted. It's a developed process
yeah.
because we
But because we have to become an adult, we can't play and climb trees all day long.
But
we have to produce money to pay our rent.
We
but
have to
we can,
adult.
But we can become emotionally mature through processing our emotions.
So what's the best way, in your opinion, as a therapist, a holistic counselor, to prevent yourself from becoming addicted to any one thing or any one substance?
Okay, so let me what's it called when you go backwards, de-engineer or something like
yeah.
that? What's that
yeah,
word? Okay.
Yeah.
Deconstruct.
Deconstruct.
Okay. So let's go from an addict who's trying to recover, right? So what do? They start going to therapy and they start actually talking about their past emotions to their life that they've never felt. Okay. Mm-hmm. In my case with energy process, a lot of times I'm just releasing trapped emotions. They're not feeling anything. It's just energy. And I liken it to a volcano with a cap over it. You've got all this lava roaring around inside of you, but you can't get to it because there's this cap over it. Usually after a month of people seeing me and I've been pulling off all this energy, they call me and they go, I just want to bite everybody's head off, or I just want to cry all the time. And I go, yay, good. You're actually feeling.
Yeah.
Most people are disconnected from their emotions because at some point it wasn't safe. They didn't have the ability. They didn't have a place to feel. And they made a subconscious decision to stop feeling because there was nowhere to process that or nobody to talk to.
Yeah.
And then that volcano just got fuller and fuller, and then they put a cap on it. Well, that lava is still inside of you doing damage. So to deconstruct back to parenting is parents need to sit down after your child is 3, 4, 5 years old and go, how do you feel today? Let's talk about your feelings. We have to be taught what rejection feels like. We have to be given it a word. We have to be taught despair and hopelessness. What do parents typically do? I'm tired. I don't have time for this. Get over it. You're mm-hmm. too sensitive.
Yeah.
We tell our children not to feel because we were told not to feel.
Right.
We live in a country that is addicted because we're a few generations away from being healthy, emotionally healthy, from a lifestyle where people sat down and talked to each other and cried and said, I feel hopeless today. Okay, well, let's just feel hopeless for a few hours because guess what? It's just energy and it will actually pass.
And how did we get here? How did we get to this place?
Busy, money, greed, being driven, dysfunction, alcoholism, being addiction being perpetuated and expanded. If I have one alcoholic parent, and I grow up in that dysfunctional home, it becomes a no-talk, no-feel home. I get married. I repeat that now to all of my children. They grow up in a no-talk, no-feel home. Two generations later, everybody's in a no-talk, no-feel home.
But I think is it a form of escapism? Because from the stress, we do need to escape from time to time.
And that's all the substances you mentioned. Your brain is still trying to feel normal. But it's an inauthentic way. It's not actually releasing those emotions. It's just a short-term fix to not feel them. And think about it as energy. It's all this energy, bouncing, winging around inside of you like a pinball in a machine. And what your body wants to do is get rid of it. And you're just trying to quiet the pinball ball down for a little while to stop banging around inside of you. That's... Mm-hmm. Kind of an energetic description.
Do you think that people don't like to talk about it because they don't want to have the conversation with themselves?
Well, most of the time,
that's a great question.
Part of the idea of the way we're wired is about connection.
Mm-hmm.
So let me give you an example in my own life of developing emotional maturity. And I won't go into my whole story, but it's
my story.
Go
ahead.
Let's hear it. Okay, so I married somebody who was a sex addict. I knew when I married him, I thought he was a recovered sex addict, but lo and behold, I was wrong. And so I heard very clearly from God, divorce was not an option.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, okay, well, he's going to get well. So I just kept working on me. And for the first time in my life, because I had an eating disorder for 14 years, I actually started to feel real feelings without obsessive thoughts, you know, because obsession and compulsion is a way to not deal with feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So obsessing about calories and diet and is a form of addiction. It's not dealing with what's really going on. So FYI, when you have obsessive thoughts, it means you're not dealing with some emotion somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah. That's because you can control it. That's something you can control.
You're controlling it. Yeah.
And
you're disconnected from your emotions.
Right,
I didn't have an authentic feeling until I knew what I was feeling until I was in my 20s. Okay.
Huh.
After I went to treatment. Not that treatment was great, but it got the ball rolling. So anyway, point being is that I had to feel despair. I had to feel betrayal. And the only way I could cope with it, because I was no longer using food, was to talk to somebody and cry on their shoulder and pour out my anger and my complaint and my emotion. And it felt terrible. But guess what? I felt terrible for a day. And the next day I felt better, even though my circumstances had not changed. And I went, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I just have to feel it.
You just have to feel it. You have to talk about it. You have to get it out. Which is,
and some people can journal, and journaling works great. I'm not a journaler. I'm a talker. I have to tell somebody how I'm feeling. I have to talk about it. I don't always know how I'm feeling until I start to talk, and here it comes bubbling out. Or I watch Grey's Anatomy or watch Bambi, and crying helps too. So, you know, I mean, you know, I'm the mom that cries at the trailer.
It's okay.
Yeah. At the the
trailer. I cry in during the trailer. Yeah.
It's cool.
And my kids go, they look over at me and they just shake their head. But they love the fact that I'm very free with my emotions because it gives them permission to be.
Yeah.
So like when I have some friends who have kids that have the tantrums in the grocery store, things like that, like crying over not getting a toy or something.
Right.
Are they supposed to let them do that?
Depends on the age.
Okay.
A two-year-old, their brains aren't organized. Temper tantrums are appropriate responses, and you just let it happen. It'll pass.
But that's them getting their emotions out, right?
Well, to a certain degree, their brain's not fully developed yet. So that's a different type of anger, is a different type of emotion at that age range than at an older age. Anger is usually a masking emotion. It's not the real emotion, real anger.
Interesting. Well, we're going to talk more about it.
Yeah.
Great, great conversation. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. Introducing Moonlight, the latest squat to poop stool from Squatty Potty. Moonlight will light your way to the toilet on the darkest of nights. May your love of Squatty Potty burn brightly day or night with a motion and light activated nightlight with three brightness settings. Go to squattypotty.com/onelife for 15% off your entire purchase. Follow the moonlight.
Hey, this is Sean Wells of the International Society of Sports Nutrition. One Life Radio is proud to partner with the ISSN. The ISSN is the world's leading scientific organization dedicated to the science of supplements and sports nutrition. For their latest conferences and events, go to theissn.org. That's theissn.org.
Hi, everyone. This is Bernadette. Do you know why I love Paleo Magazine? Paleo Magazine was founded with the purpose of providing readers with the information they need to live strong, vibrant, healthy lives. They are dedicated to partnering with leaders in the paleo community to spread the knowledge of ancestral health principles without the influence of big pharma or big agriculture. Paleo Magazine. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram, or visit them at paleomagonline.com. That's paleomagonline.com.
Here's the dill pickle. Squatty Potty works. It's awesome. Find yours at your local Bed Bath & Beyond, Amazon, or squattypotty.com. That's squattypotty.com.
This is Jill with the One Life Radio Fueling Champions Minute. Did you know magnesium is a cofactor in more than 300 enzyme systems that regulate diverse biochemical reactions in the body, including protein synthesis, muscle and nerve function, blood glucose control, and blood pressure? Magnesium is required for energy production, oxidative phosphorylation, and glycolysis. That's a mouthful. How do you know if you're getting enough? Signs and symptoms of possible magnesium deficiency include restless leg syndrome, agitation, insomnia, muscle stiffness, cramping, and aches. Well, where do you find magnesium? Food sources include raw almonds, leafy greens like cooked spinach and chard, raw cashews, pumpkin seeds, black beans, avocados, and my favorite, dark chocolate. Don't forget those Epsom salt baths and be smart about supplementation. This has been the One Life Radio Fueling Champions Minute.
Every time I turn around, I'm back down to one. Tell me why it feels like I'm still on the run. I need some good news, baby. It's like the world's
gone. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray I've got Aviana Barrientos in studio with me, Marie Early, and Robin Perry Braun. I want to let everyone know that you can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast and subscribe to our newsletter, or go to iHeartMedia.com to listen live or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. A big shout out to our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior. You can get it at Vitamin Shop or put it in your smoothie at Smoothie King. Sun Warrior is a premium, all-natural, raw superfood company dedicated to providing the best vegan, plant-based protein powders and supplements. Go to sunwarrior.com to learn more about all of their products. And, of course, Squatty Potty. I love my Squatty Potty. I wish I could really talk about the Squatty Potty on the air without being crude or crass, but it just, I'm telling you, everyone out there, it's truly a game changer. It is, and it just makes life easier. It really does. So check them out, squattypotty.com. They are the original squat to poo toilet stool. And of course, the H Hemp Company, made only with premium hemp cannabinoid genetics tested by third parties to ensure no pesticide, solvents, or other contaminants. It's non-GMO and contains only all natural ingredients. Paleo Magazine, visit them at paleomagonline.com to download the digital version or find a store.
I love when you do that.
I know. Oh my gosh. Find a steer. Near you and pick up a copy. And of course, the Wellbeing Journal, always heralding the integration of medicine with physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and social aspects of health. Wellbeing Journal is now available in both print and digital version. Order online at wellbeingjournal.com. Today, we're talking with Robin Perry Braun about a holistic approach to addiction recovery. So, well, let's go to this. So, what are the recent statistics in the rate of recovery for addiction, and what percentage of Americans struggle with addiction?
And both of those are hard to measure accurately, so okay, it's worth talking about. But I would say, and part of the reason why is treatment centers don't follow up with people 5-10 years later. You know, there's just no way to really measure. But, you know, the average estimate from places like AA and all that is about 10 to 15% actually recover.
Yeah.
That's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. We should be always developing new tools. If 10 to 15% is the recovery rate, and I would say in America today, for lots of reasons, which we'll talk about, more than 60% of the population struggles with some level of addiction.
Yeah.
Whether they're functional or not.
And the newest addiction, based on what I've read and seen in media, is that social media is becoming like so detrimental to our youth.
Yes.
Where they're going at 13 years old. I saw a news story yesterday. I believe it was on ABC News. Yeah. 13-year-olds getting their lips injected because they don't like their self-image at 13 years old so they can get more likes.
Right.
What kind of a freaking society have we become that we judge ourselves by how puffy our lips are?
It's crazy. I know.
It's very shallow.
And that's really, really part of why, you know, my passion of being resurging is we have to start talking about this more. What we're doing isn't working. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Mm-hmm. We have to look at some different tools and models to help these people. It's America, and it's back to, you know, what I said is if we could educate pregnant families and teach them one thing, it's showing your emotions, processing your emotions, resolving conflict, and helping your children process yours. And if that one thing could be learned and nothing else, even if we didn't change our diet, if we didn't do anything else, which we need to do, but if we did that one thing, the addiction rate would radically change. Conflict and resolve. And just, you know, if I feel rejected, instead of getting angry and attacking you, I feel rejected. This hurts my feelings.
Right.
But we live in this culture that says, oh, stop being so sensitive or so wimpy, or, you know,
right,
we don't feel safe to feel.
Right. Well, I think when you are suffering with something or you've been violated, you do need to be validated. You do need to be heard. It does help. I mean, I've been in and out of therapy for years, and I absolutely love. And the reason I love it is because I get to talk to someone who I know is safe, who is going to validate how I feel about certain things.
Right. And so a holistic model does this, and why this is so critical today is, you know, addiction is really just a bad fruit from a tree with bad roots. And so what a lot of just like allopathic medicine is, let's just treat the bad fruit. So we pick the bad fruit off the tree. Right. What's going to happen next year? It's going to grow
Same
more bad fruit.
Right.
We got to get to the roots. Okay. So a holistic model says we have to address the fact that your brain is a delicately balanced organ that's also connected to your gut. I'm not going to say what percentage, but recently I tried to find a holistic treatment center online mm-hmm. unsuccessfully that covered
wow.
that did this. And a client recently went into a treatment center and it was considered one of the better ones. And they smoked four packs of cigarettes a day in there and drank 3 pots of coffee while they were there. So how well did their brain detox from substances while they were in there? So we have to start looking at the nutritional aspect. The toxins, the nutrition, the malnutrition, we have to start using supplements. We have to talk about changing your diet, your serotonin, much of it's produced in your gut. You've got to have a serotonin balance in your brain to feel better and yeah. stop medicating. Your drugs won't do that for you, continuing a bad diet. I mean, right. we talk about this every day on the show, so I'm anybody yeah, listening
absolutely.
To the show. But very few, any, you know, if you go to an AA meeting or any 12-step meeting, you're going to see three things universally: a pot of coffee, ashtrays, and a plate of brownies or cookies.
Oh, there you go.
So sugar, caffeine,
alcohol,
and nicotine.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
and instead of alcohol, but it still is, and a lot of those people will be in 12-step meetings the rest of their life because they're not, they're fighting against their brain every single day.
Right.
And treatment centers are not addressing the physiological component, or they're putting people on meds. And in America, about 95% of Americans are malnutritioned.
They are. And it's because of the quality of the food. I have this story that here in my pile that I read a couple of days ago that is so astounding. It's just simple, the truth about fish oil, but it goes into the quality of even the eggs that we eat because the way they're produced, and we don't get the natural not choline. There's another in Greece. There's a little shrub that the chickens pick on to get like the certain nutrient that our body
right.
needs. It's so complicated, and yet it's not. We need to get back to the basics, and so many things need to happen in order for that to happen. But this is such a great article. It talks about the quality of the oil and the omega-3s and the omega-6s and why our brain and our body is so inflamed and why we don't
right.
feel good. And now, and it just, it's, and a lot of it is political too.
Sure.
You know, what companies are subsidized by the U.S. government? It's very complicated.
It's very complicated.
It is.
But
it's very, very complicated.
If I have an addicted kid and I do an intervention and I'm putting my hope in this 90-day treatment center to save my child's life, and I kind of stepped out of this industry about 15 years ago on this level because I just felt so hopeless about it.
Yeah.
And I thought things had improved with a lot more. And recently I kind of stepped back into it and I just was like, you know, there are some alternative treatment centers, but they don't cover all of it. A lot of them are just doing detoxing and nutrition, but not covering the emotional component, the therapy component, the
uh-huh.
trauma, the programming, the belief systems, all of that. We have to look at the whole being, the body, soul, and the spirit, and address
Absolutely.
All of it.
Are you familiar with Maslow's hierarchy of needs?
Absolutely. You talk about it all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's such a great diagram to look at, if you
yes.
will. Talks about self-actualization, achieving one's full potential, including creative activities, esteem needs, prestige and feeling of accomplishment, belongingness and love needs, intimate relationships and friends, safety needs, security and safety, and psychological needs, or no, physiological needs, excuse me, food, water, warmth, and rest.
Yeah.
I encourage everyone to take a look at it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Always great to have you in studio. I'm so sorry we're out of time. I could talk about this forever.
I know.
Robin Perry Braun, thank you so much. Always a pleasure. Everyone, thank you so much for listening. You know what? You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.